It's Caitlin. Whenever Ben and I talk with listeners, you tell us two things. One, that you really love how Simplify helps you get to the heart of big subjects that matter and how it leaves you feeling like you've got a handle on life. And two, that you love the bookend because it helps you figure out what needs a spot on your reading list. And so we thought, hey, why not give the people more of what they want, right? You are about to hear the very first edition of an experiment that we're calling Spotlight. Every spotlight will give you one big idea from a new nonfiction book straight from the author who wrote it. So you'll walk away with something to think about and a plan for what to read next in just about 15 minutes. In this debut episode, our own Emily Phillips talks with Laura Vanderkam to charm out some good ideas from her new book, Off the Clock, Feel Less Busy While Getting More Done. And as a heads up, stick around. You'll be seeing more new things from us at Simplify and Blinkist right here in this very feed very soon. Now, let's hear Laura Vanderkam talking with Emily Phillips about why we all feel so busy and how to stop it.
Hi, Laura. Thank you for joining me today. Could you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Yes. Well, thank you for having me. My name is Laura Vanderkam. I'm the author of several management and productivity books. The newest is called Off the Clock, and I look at how people can feel less busy while getting more done.
So can you tell me a bit about why you decided to write Off the Clock?
Well, you know, I've been interested in time management for a long time and the various strategies people use. And yet in the course of my interviews and studying people's schedules, I've long been fascinated by people who seem to have a lot going on in their lives and yet are seemingly relaxed about their time. You know, these people who have sort of infinite demands on their time and yet, you know, you talk to them and they're not rushing you along. They're happy to chat, we can find time for whatever. And so, like, well, what are they doing differently? Like, what are the secrets of these people who are busy yet relaxed? How do they interact with time differently? And so Off the Clock explores that concept.
So as I was reading Off the Clock, one of these secrets that you describe jumped out at me. And that was a piece of wisdom that seemed rather counterintuitive. And that is to say that while one might think that in order to gain more time freedom or to feel off the clock, as you put it, that rather than removing things from my calendar to free up space, what actually can help is making commitments, and that somehow making commitments can even give us more time. Could you speak a little more about this concept?
Yeah, there's a lot of sort of time paradoxes out there, but fun, good, meaningful obligations are very different than obligations that you don't want to do, that sure. don't move you toward your larger goals in life. And so I think it's important to make that difference. You know, if you care strongly about your community, I mean, you can tell yourself, oh, I'm so busy, I don't have time to do X, Y, or Z. You can say, you know, actually, I would like to be out there working on the neighborhood garden every Saturday and helping other volunteers do that. And yes, that's a commitment. But people who make commitments like that actually feel like they have more time. And partly it's because in your mind, you become the sort of person who can put your time into things like this. So if you think about, you know, wealth in a monetary sense, a wealthy person might allocate their resources to different investments. And you can feel the same way about time. Like, oh, I have the ability to, you know, allocate my time to this important investment. And so you wind up feeling like time is more abundant than if you walk around with a story like, oh, I'm so busy, so I shouldn't commit to something like that, even though I think it would be meaningful.
Okay, so a lot of this has to do with self-reflection or introspection. One thing that you talk a lot about is telling how we tell ourselves stories about where our time goes. This idea that stories that fit into a narrative of our lives, of who we are, of what we do, and that one thing that might happen as you embark upon the process that you suggest is that you find out that some of these stories that you tell yourself are not 100% accurate.
It is one of those eye-opening discoveries that many people make when they track their time. Yeah, there are ones that I've long found fascinating. Like, many people overestimate how many hours they work. you know, and what it is you feel like you're working a lot, and most people don't love every minute of their job, so it feels longer than something you might enjoy a bit more. So there's that. And, you know, people are competitive too. I mean, nobody wants to say they're working fewer hours than the guy in the cubicle next to them, and you know, we're all trying to one up each other there. So people have a tendency to overestimate on that. People underestimate on sleep. It's kind of the opposite direction. If you feel tired, then you put a lower number on it. Same thing with free time. People will underestimate how much free time they have. And generally what's going on is the story is, oh, I have no free time. Well, the reality is the correct story is not as much as I want. You know, I don't have as much free time as I want. But that is a very different story from none. Because, you know, none, you can't do anything about that. But not as much as I want. Well, you know, we can make better choices within that time.
Sure. And in terms of those better choices, I mean, not having as much free time as you want also can be due to different types of time sucks, right? Things that you may do on these, during these moments that you have of free time, of downtime, that then make time feel like it's going by faster rather than more slowly. Can you talk a little bit about those types of issues?
There are certain ways we can spend our leisure time that make us or are correlated with feeling like we have less time. And it turns out that a lot of the electronic free time options, like, you know, watching TV, Netflix, you know, social media, stuff like that, tends to correspond with people feeling like they have less time. Whereas these other leisure activities that are take a little bit more effort, obviously it takes a little bit more effort to pick up a book or to call a friend than to just, you know, peruse Facebook. But they make you feel like you have more time. And again, I think it's the same thing. Like, I'm the kind of person who has time to get together with friends, and therefore I feel like I have more time.
Sure. It's one thing to understand the prescription, perhaps the treatment for trying to feel like you have more time or really beginning to feel that way. But as you mentioned, this is something that can be quite challenging. But I'm just wondering if you could speak a little bit about this discipline that is required for making some of these changes.
Yeah. So it's the difference between effortless fun and effortful fun. Effortless fun is just like it sounds, you know, it doesn't demand anything of you. Those are the sorts of things that we wind up choosing more often for our leisure time, precisely because it doesn't make any demands on you. If you think about like throwing a dinner party, it takes quite a bit of effort. You know, you have to call your friends and ask them to come over. You have to make the food appear at your house, whether you're ordering it in or making it, but you know, all this stuff. Of course, actually having the dinner party is a lot more exciting than watching TV. I mean, you can look forward to it. You'll enjoy it during the time it's happening. You'll have this great memory of it afterwards. So in that sense, it's more memorable. And when things are more memorable, they actually stretch our experience of time, but you have to do it. Yes. And that requires being intentional with your leisure time. It requires deciding that you want to do things like this, that you're willing to put effort into your fun. And I think a lot of people get tripped up on that idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Putting effort into fun doesn't seem like something that people want to do necessarily. But what you're trying to say is that ultimately it is what will help stretch the time and make it feel as if you have more time.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people feel like time starts to accelerate as they get older. That is, you know, really the sense of it slipping from one side of the hourglass to the other. And part of that is that we don't put effort into it. When time isn't intentional, then it's hard to remember it. And so you don't remember it. And when you don't remember where time goes, then it flies by. And so the answer to that is to choose more effortful fun and more effortful activities that will be things you can anticipate, you can remember afterwards. And so you don't ask this question, oh, where did the time go, when you actually know where the time went. That is how you can slow the experience of time. But yeah, no, it requires discipline, and it's easier not to do it. And so that's why we get the sense of time accelerating.
Yeah, sure. I have a quick question about, as you had mentioned, you had used the example of somebody who might feel that they have to fill their hours or work a lot because of potentially being perceived as not working as hard. What would you counsel someone who is resistant to or concerned about the perception of themselves in that manner?
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the best things I think anyone can do is to track their time for a week so that they actually know where their time is going. I think that we do have all kinds of stories we tell ourselves, and sometimes we're concerned about, like, oh, am I not seeing my family, or am I not doing X, Y, or Z at work? Often when you track your time, you see, like, oh, well, yes, I didn't see my family for dinner Monday night because I had to work late, but, you know, I was there mm-hmm. the other six nights of the week. And so, you know, why are we focusing on the one where it was a trade-off versus the others when you were there? Or you can see how much you're getting done. I mean, at work, I think people might think, like, oh, what's the perception of this? Can I actually take a break? But if you see, like, actually, you know, I was working pretty solidly on these projects in the morning and accomplished a lot, then you might say, well, why not? You know, or you can even see on your log, like, actually, I never get anything done in the afternoon. I've been trying to work through lunch and thinking mm-hmm. that by just sitting at my desk and plowing through, I'll be more productive. But then I spend hours in the afternoon reading the same email over and over again because you're tired. And if you see that, you might say, oh, well, what if I actually take a break? Often that, you know, makes you massively more productive afterwards. And so that's the kind of thing you can see with that too. I guess the one other thing I would caution or counsel somebody is that when you're worried about perception, perception is often bigger in our own minds than it is in anyone else's. Mm-hmm. We are all the center of our own little worlds, which means that you are not the center of anyone else's world. Harsh as that may sound. You know, if you are a generally productive person, my guess is that your boss is so worried about pleasing her own boss that she is not noticing if you took a 20-minute lunch or a 30-minute one, right? Like, she is not counting the exact number of seconds you are in your chair.
Sure.
She has other things to worry about. So, you know, or at home, like, oh, you know, is my family worried that the toys aren't picked up? Well, probably not. Like, they're doing mm-hmm. other things. They're thinking about their own little worlds. Your kids are worried about what's going on in school. Your spouse is worried about their own work and whatever else. So, I mean, maybe, but don't assume that anyone thinks anything without actually talking to them about it.
Great. So that was the extent of the questions I had. I hope that we've sparked some listeners' interest in learning more about achieving time freedom. So Laura, where can they find more information about your work if they're interested?
Well, please come visit my website, which is lauravanderkam.com, just my name. And I hope you'll check out Off the Clock, which is a new book about time management. I have some other titles as well. But I'm always interested in talking with people about these concepts. So please feel free to get in touch.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed that talk with Laura Vanderkam and Emily Phillips, and that you feel like you learned something new. Simplify and our Spotlight episodes are brought to you by Blinkist, which is an app. We pick out the key ideas from the world's best nonfiction books and distill them into smart, effective overviews that you can read or listen to in just about 15 minutes. And on that note, if you're interested in Laura Vanderkam's new book, great news. You can actually read the key ideas from it for free on Blinkist. Go to Blinkist.com/friends and type in the voucher code LESSBUSY. That's all one word, LESSBUSY. Also, seriously, if there were ever a time to finally try Blinkist, it's now. Because Laura added new content to her book, an exclusive action plan for getting more done, just for Blinkist users. So go flex that trial muscle and sign up. It'll take you just a few seconds, and then you'll be on your way to saving even more time. This Spotlight episode was produced by me, Caitlin Schiller, Emily Phillips, Nat Dorishkina, and Ben Jackson, who just today learned a lot about leather pants. And hey, we'd love to hear from you. You can tweet me at Caitlin Schiller or Emily at Phillips_M, or tell us in our many Bens what you thought of this Spotlight episode by emailing us at podcast@blinkist.com. We'll be back with more Simplify and more adventures for your ears really soon. Till then, this is Caitlin. Checking out.